want to read in Matthew chapter 8, please. We're going to read the account that we shared with the children. And I want us to read it from as we find it in Matthew 8 and then as we find it in Mark 4. Matthew 8 and verse 23. Now when he, that is Jesus, got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Let's turn over to Mark 4. And there we find Mark's account of this same event. Mark 4 and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the waves obey him? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your word being the living word. And as we come to your word, we pray that you will speak, O Lord, to your church through your word, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us hearts that are willing to respond to your word and receive the food of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our house, we managed to get through the summer without having to go near Barry's. I count that an achievement. I know some of you are probably thinking you must be bad parents not taking your children to Barry's. I promise you, we're not bad parents. We did half-heartedly offer to take them. But we were wholeheartedly delighted whenever they didn't want to go. So I haven't been to Barry's for a bit. I'm not sure what rides are there at present, but there used to be a ride in Barry's called the Freakout. I don't think it's there anymore. As the name suggests, you have a freakout experience. You panic. You're terrorized with that ride. You freak out. Freaking out is exactly what the disciples were doing this day. They were panicking. They were filled with fear and terror. They thought it was the end. They were truly freaking out as they were in that little boat in the middle of the lake, caught in the eye of the storm, this storm of storms. And they freak out. We see that in the passages that we have read together. For example, we see it in Matthew's account in Matthew 8, 23, now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him and said, Lord, save us, we're perishing. They're freaking out, panicking, filled with fear and terror. It's very interesting. And we need to remind ourselves that Jesus is in the boat. He's right there in the boat. They can actually see him, but they're still filled with fear. And I don't know about you, but I find that half helpful. Because although Colin knows the Lord is with him, so often Colin freaks out. So often Colin is filled with fear and panic, even though the Lord is with me. The Lord was here with them. He was in the boat and they were still beside themselves with fear. Why did the disciples panic? Why are they so filled with fear here, despite Jesus being with them in the boat? What's the problem? Surely if Jesus is with them, there's no need to fear. What's the problem? Well, Jesus immediately identifies the problem. And he identifies it as a faith malfunction. Their faith has malfunctioned. There's a problem with their faith. Look at verse 26 of Matthew 8. After they woke Jesus out of sleep, verse 26 says, he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? And we have similar words in Mark's account in Mark 4 and 40. Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Jesus immediately puts his finger on the problem and he identifies it as being a problem with their faith. Their faith has malfunctioned here. He says, why are you so fearful, you of little faith? Why are you so fearful? Have you no faith? It's a problem with their faith. The problem with their faith is twofold. And I can identify these problems in my own life at times. First of all, Jesus spells the first one out for them, and the problem is that their faith was little. Their faith was little. That's what he said to them in Matthew 8, 26. Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Their faith was little. Mark puts it a bit differently. He actually records Jesus as saying here, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith at all? But let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's reckon them to have some faith. Let's reckon them to have little faith. But that was the problem. Their faith was little. You have little faith. You see, their faith was little in comparison to the size of the storm. The storm was huge. Their faith was so little compared with the size of the storm. Problem of little faith. You see, the disciples reckoned that the power of the storm was much greater than the power of the Savior. That's what they were thinking. They reckoned, their faith was such that they reckoned the magnitude of the storm was so much bigger than the power of the Savior. You see, their faith was little. And you see, as long as we think of the storm as being bigger than the Savior, we too will fear. As long as we think of the problem as being bigger than our Savior, we will get afraid. As long as we think of the sickness as being greater than the power of the Savior, we will freak out. You see, we need to train ourselves. We need to train ourselves, folks, to think of the Savior as greater than the storm. We need to train ourselves to think of the Savior as bigger than the problem. We need to train ourselves to think of the Savior as more powerful than the sickness or the difficulty. Do you know Jesus here shows himself to be greater than the storm, doesn't he? I want you to see the storm, first of all. This has never been a storm like it. Remember who's in this boat? The disciples, seasoned fishermen, men who are used to being in the storm. Men who know what it is to sail through a storm. And yet this storm is different. They're terrified. They think they're going to perish. Gives you a sense of the size of this storm, folks. We see what this storm was doing. In Matthew 8:24, it says that the boat was covered with the waves. In Mark 4 and verse 37, it says, a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Get a sense of the size of this storm. I wouldn't want to be in this storm. This is the kind of storm that we'd see Stena canceling their sailing to Carnarvon. This is the kind of storm that would ground EasyJet and prevent them from flying. This is huge. What does Jesus do? Jesus gets up. And Mark says he rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was great calm. What does Jesus do? Jesus shows himself to be greater than the storm. More powerful than the storm. And friends, that's the Jesus we need to see. That's the Jesus we need to be constantly thinking of. One who's greater than the storm. Because you see, whenever we think like that, the problem of little faith will no longer be a problem. So there's a problem with their faith that was little faith. But there was another problem with their faith. Sometimes I have this problem too. I had it this week. Their faith was limited faith. Limited faith. No need to read the passages again. We know what the sequence of events. We know that when they set out to sail and the storm started to blow, and Jesus decides he will go to bed. And he falls asleep. And it would appear to me that the disciples panicked whenever Jesus went to sleep. It seems to me that's how it is. They panicked, they freaked out whenever Jesus went to sleep. You see, folks, I think that tells us that their faith was limited. Their faith was so limited that whenever Jesus fell asleep on the boat, they suddenly stopped believing that he was in control. It was all right when he was awake. He can do something here. He's on top of this. But the moment he went to sleep, their limited faith kicked in. And they stop believing he's in control and they start to panic. You see, their faith was limited to believing in Jesus' power only when they could see evidence of his power. Is that right? Their faith was limited in that way. Limited to believe only in Jesus' power when they could see evidence of his power. They can't see any evidence of his power now. He's sleeping. They're not so sure whether he's in control now. They just see the storm getting worse. They no longer think he's on top of it. You see, they're suffering from limited faith. Sometimes I suffer from limited faith. Whenever I see Jesus working, I see situations changing. Oh, I believe that he's in control. But when I don't see that, I struggle to believe he's still in control. Just this week, the start of the week, I was with a friend who's just completed a period of radiotherapy. And as I looked at them and been with them over these past few weeks, I thought, you're just getting worse. Lord, I can't see any evidence of you at all here. Lord, what's going on? Lord, are you still in control? Because I can't see any evidence that you are. It's almost like you're asleep. And the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, remember when I was in the boat? What was I doing? I was sleeping. But even when I was sleeping, I was still in control. I was still on top of things. I'm still on top of things, Colin. I might appear to you I'm sleeping. Don't let your faith be limited to when you can see me and feel me and hear me. Trust me always. What Jesus does here in order to deal with their limited faith is he rebukes it. He rebukes them. So he does. Matthew 8 again and verse 26. When he woke up, he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Sometimes I have wondered at those words and thought, you know, are they not a bit unreasonable? Jesus, you're in the middle of a storm here. What else do you expect them to do, Jesus? But no, I don't think they're unreasonable. I think he's teaching them here. He says, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? What he's saying to them is, listen, men, you doubted me because I was sleeping. I will have you know that from my pillow, I was controlling the wind speed. I was monitoring the height of the waves. I was in control. I was on top of this. But your faith was just that little bit too limited to see that. Maybe for someone in church this morning, you see little or maybe no evidence of God in your situation. It's as though he's asleep, you feel. Could I suggest that even when he's asleep, if we can say that even, he's still in control. He's still on top of this situation. But folks, as we move on and draw to an end, I want to think about how can we see our little faith become large faith? How can we see our limited faith become unlimited faith? I need that in my life. But too often it's little faith and limited faith with me. How can we see our little faith become large, or limited become unlimited? Well, let's start with this passage. There's much in this passage to inspire our faith, to bolster our faith. Let me just pick out two things, folks. You've probably already picked them out. First of all, if we think again for a moment about Jesus sleeping in the storm, because that's what he was doing. Both Matthew and Mark tells us that he was sleeping in the storm. Mark tells us that he was sleeping on a pillow in the storm. What do you think about that? Remember the storm I described a little while ago, and Jesus is sleeping in it. On Friday night, I was talking about Friday night to the children and falling asleep, but the night before, it hasn't been a great week in our house at all when it comes to sleep. The night before, I went home and went to bed, and next thing, the silage harvesters went into the field adjacent to the house. And the roar of those around the house half the night, I find it very difficult to sleep. Sounds like they're coming up the stairs. I find it hard to sleep whenever the silage men are in the field. See, the thought of sleeping in the middle of this storm, I just have to forget about it. I just have to walk about the boat all night. Not a mission could I sleep in the middle of it. What does Jesus do? In the middle of this storm, like these guys have never seen before, Jesus says, "Good night, men." He can just see them. And he goes to bed, falls asleep. Amazing. Oh, it shows his humanity, doesn't it? But I think it shows his divinity. That any man could fall asleep on a boat in such a storm. What a man. This is the God man. Here's a man who's in control. And that's why he's able to go to sleep. Think if I'm sleeping, friends, in the middle of that storm, and I would suggest that'll do something to your faith. That'll do something in your faith as to what this man's capable of. But then if we move away from him sleeping and we see him standing up and stilling the storm, we hear him say and rebuke the wind and the sea, and he says, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was calm. We would have to conclude, as the disciples concluded, whenever they said, "Who can this be? Even the wind and the seas obey him." What does that do to your faith? As you see this man, Jesus, standing up and rebuking the wind and the waves, as you hear the disciples say, "What kind of man is this? The wind and the seas obey him." Friends, you should think about that. It does something to your little faith, doesn't it? It does something to your limited faith. You start to think, maybe this man can do anything. Maybe this man actually is in control of what's going on in my life right now. As we see him sleeping in the storm, as we see him stilling the storm. But is there anything else we can do? Any other helps for our faith, that we might see our little faith become large? Well, Romans 10 and 17, it says there, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One of the sure ways of dealing with little faith and limited faith is by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's how we bolster our faith, through the word of God. And that's what we've been trying to do this morning, just looking at the word of God. But is there anything else we can do? Anything else practical we can do? Well, I'm sure many of you will be familiar with the name William Carey and his very famous quotation. Whenever he said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. You know, if we put that into practice, I would suggest that will go some way to transforming our faith. Because you see, whenever we expect great things from God, whenever we ask God to do great things, and then whenever we attempt great things for God, and we see God do those great things, oh, that does something to your faith. It bolsters it. So why not, folks, in these days, expect great things from God? Ask God for great things. Why not attempt great things for God? Let's see Him do great things. And my, that will have a transforming effect upon your faith. But then there's one last thing we can do, that we might see our faith become much more robust. We need to be prepared to get into the boat with Jesus whenever He calls us to. You know, if you read those two passages in Matthew 8 and Mark 4, you come to the conclusion that this sailing trip was Jesus' idea. It wasn't the disciples who decided to go sailing that day. It was Jesus. It was Jesus who instructed them to get into the boat. It was His suggestion to get into the boat that day. And there might have been other reasons as to why they got into the boat with Jesus. They maybe needed some rest. Not sure if they got it. But I think one of the reasons that Jesus invited them into the boat that day was to stormproof their faith. Christians need their faith stormproofed. You see, their faith had never really been stormproofed up to this point. Oh, they had faith. It was sunny day faith. It was a when everything's going well faith. Jesus wanted them to have a much more robust faith. A faith that would sustain them whenever things just weren't going so well, like now. And you know what, folks? I believe that's the kind of faith they ended up with that day. They might have got into the boat with little faith, but I think they got out with large faith. They might have got into the boat with limited faith, but I think they got out with unlimited faith. As a result of being in the boat this day with Jesus. Had they never got into the boat, their faith would have remained little and limited. You know, sometimes the Lord calls us to get into the boat, calls us to do things we're not comfortable doing, go places we wouldn't choose to go through experiences we would never, ever choose to go through. But sometimes it is just to get us into the boat, so that He might work in our faith, that little faith might become large faith. And so if we want to see our faith transformed, we've got to be open and prepared to get into the boat whenever Jesus calls us to go, realizing There's more to this than meets the eye. There's more to this sailing trip than just getting to the other side. Jesus wants to work in my faith, that it might become robust. Faith that will sustain me until the end of life's journey.